Hello everyone and welcome to the CMO Stories podcast, episode 32. My name is Yuri Bilast and I'm your podcast host. And today we have a guest from Austin. Hi Avi, how are you?
I'm doing great, Yuri. Thank you for having me here. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you on the podcast. So my dear listeners, Avi Kumar is the founder and CEO of Kuware. It's a marketing and advertising agency based in Austin. And their primary focus is on marketing strategy delivered through a fractional CMO model and e-commerce as a service. Recently, Avi acquired a white label PPC agency, Invisible PPC. And as a behind-the-scenes white label partner, Invisible PPC helps smaller agencies fulfill the marketing needs of local businesses. I also know, Avi, that you have spoken at Traffic and Conversion Summit, one of the major marketing events in the world. I was there too a few years back. And next to that, what also I think is amazing, that in the 14 years that you have your agency Kuware, you never lost an employee that has left you. I think that's really, really amazing. My first question would be like the fractional CMO model. I know it because I'm myself a fractional CMO, but for our listeners, can you explain a bit what people should understand about that?
Certainly. So fractional CMO is, first thing to understand is fractional CMO is a CMO, is a full-fledged CMO. The difference being that they might be working on a fractional basis in the sense they might not be full-time working. So it's a outsourced CMO model. And the other thing to understand is at times a fractional CMO might work in a company where they might already still have a CMO. They want additional fractional CMO because that fractional CMO brings in some additional skills which their existing CMO might not have. So it could be augmentation of existing CMO as well. That happens sometimes. But more usual model is a startup or a company who feels that they don't need a full-time CMO in-house. They usually go with a fractional CMO. It's a common scenario, a startup or somebody who feels that they're not ready for full-time yet. So that's the fractional CMO model. And the other part is it's a CMO, so it's all about strategy.
Yeah.
So CMO is more strategy versus implementation. So that's the important part. The CMO focuses on that versus the actual implementation.
So that's when the fractional CMO starts at a new company, that's one of the first things, of course, to do is define the strategy. And this is because it's someone from the outside. Often this person brings a new view or a fresh view on things.
Yeah, certainly. And so one of the ways I like to think of as advantage being from an outsider is for any company is once you're inside, you are, the phrase we use here is that you drink the same Kool-Aid. So everybody's thinking the same and people stop questioning. But when you come as an outsider, you're kind of kicking around. You're questioning everything that why this way? Why did you choose this price point? Why not this one? Why cannot we increase the price? So everything gets questioned when you come from outside. Partially, they're questioning just to understand the business. But those questions, when you start answering them, you start realizing, oh, maybe we should consider this other option too. So that is an important part of having somebody outside coming in and doing it. Other aspect of it is the outsider might have, especially we have situations where there is a brick and mortar company. Now they want to go e-commerce. Mm-hmm. So inside, people who are used to the brick and mortar way of selling things, they're not very savvy on e-commerce. So that's outsider comes in and gets you all ready and working on this other channel which you're using to sell on. So that's the other common scenario where a CMO from outside as a fractional CMO can work out great.
Can work, yeah. And also things that sometimes you have companies that have already a marketing team inside and a fractional CMO comes in to help. But in other cases, they are, you know, they want to work with an external agency, but they don't have like the knowledge to select a partner and they want somebody in between, and then a fractional CMO could also help, right?
Certainly, certainly. So in our case, we will work with teams which are in-house and we'll manage the team, or it could be a mix where they have some resources in-house, rest are outsourced. And then in addition, the other thing to throw in is that Kuware is also a full service agency. So which means a lot of implementation we can kind of do in-house. So what we do is usually as a fractional CMO, our CMO goes in and says, hey, we have this option of either Kuvare team can do it, and this is what it'll take, or we can also look at two or three external teams. So we want to do the best thing for the company based on what they need. But a lot of cases, almost 80% cases, they end up just working with us for the implementation part from the internal team.
I understand, because if they work with you as a fractional CMO and they are happy about the collaboration, why wouldn't they also work with the rest of the team? For which kind of companies or in which cases would it be a good idea to outsource marketing? Because I can imagine that often they want to do everything themselves, but it's not always the best, I guess.
Correct. So there are a few scenarios where it makes more sense. One is, of course, a startup. Mm-hmm. A startup, once they have gone through seed round, they have some money, but they don't have enough money to hire a full-time CMO. They want to take the company to the next level where till they get Series A funding. That's a great time to get a fractional CMO. And in our case, when we engage in those situations, we'll work with them. And also, when they are ready with the funding, we actually interview and find the right CMO for them from outside and hand over. And we become outside consultants. So that's one scenario where CMOs can do well. The other one is a company which has been doing, they've been a traditional company, a mom and pop, but has grown big enough, but never had a formal marketing ever. So bringing somebody who can think strategy, can tell them overall, and that's a CMO succeed very well in those situations. And in some cases, we have clients, once they get this, they stay with the fractional model for like 7 years.
Right.
Same, because they just like this outsider kind of continuously telling them it works there in that situation. Other is where a company has decided to pursue a new channel or new product line. So they already are very familiar and have in-house marketing for existing stuff, but they want to go get into new areas, or they are getting expert from outside as a fractional CMO to get you into those channels is a other scenario where it can be very beneficial to have a fractional CMO. And other aspect is that maybe everything is going well and you just want a sounding board outsider to come in for short duration to check everything out for you. Mm-hmm. That are you doing everything? Because you might not be even aware that things are going right or wrong, right? Because, you know, the line I like to use is sometimes companies are succeeding in spite of their marketing, not because of their marketing.
Right.
So somebody outside can say, hey, you know, your marketing is actually not helping. It's almost hurting. You could change it. That's right.
Some companies are in a comfort zone and are doing every year the same thing because it used to work and they don't feel directly the impact. But at a certain moment, you know, they can have a problem if they always do the same thing, because marketing is evolving all the time, certainly these days. And perhaps something else, you also should organize yourself, of course. And then I was thinking about, you have the agency, you have the other company, you have all these different clients, and you have grown your agency. What are the types of tech stack or systems that you are using or that an agency should use to reach this growth?
In fact, you mentioned TNC. At TNC, that's the word why my presentation actually was about the tech stack for agencies. Because over the years, in 14 years, we have kind of tried many things and learned that this works versus the other. So the general advice I'll have is that, of course, there some things are personal preferences, but as an agency, if you're trying to grow it, don't sign any affiliate long-term contracts. Because if you sign a contract, especially the ones which require you to commit to pay certain thing ongoing, just don't do it. Because you might find that tool or platform is not what you want to stay with later. Mm-hmm. And if you're already in a contract of some kind, then you're just stuck with it, right?
Right.
Especially as a new agency, just please stay away from that. And because it seems very exciting when somebody comes, oh, we sell it through agencies, you will get 20% on everything, and you sign up, but you're required to keep it for 2 years now. Mm-hmm. And you might find that's not the one. So that's one thing we learned, some of them hard way, by getting into contracts, then we had to take a year before we can get out, right? So that's one. The other aspect is, you do need a whole stack for everything. And a lot of us, so we have a double stack. One is the stack we use internally. Mm-hmm. And then there's a stack we recommend for our customers. There is definitely an overlap of a lot of things, but kind of depending on the customer, customers are not agencies, right? So their stack will be a little different, right? So, but there are some areas where there is an overlap in what we use versus what customer uses. So it is the job of a fractional CMO to recommend that tech stack. So that kind of goes really well with that, that, hey, we go in and say, not this versus this, let's use this tool versus that, and based on experience. And the other aspect we bring in is, because we have multiple CMOs, so we don't have a list of stack. Instead, we have a broad list.
Okay.
Because our CMOs, there might be one CMO who has experience more on this. There is other one who has the other one. So we kind of say, so instead of saying, oh, you have to do this, you have to do HubSpot, no other way, not like that. Instead, we have many options between those categories, which we say we can work with those. Yeah. And we'll just get the right talent to work with you on that.
It's kind of a principle how to use every, lots of these tools have the same possibilities, and it's kind of the principle. How do you and your team, what are you doing to keep up with the latest trends and the latest insight and so on? Are you going to these conferences? Are you guys in masterminds? Do you do knowledge sharing within the company? Or how do you do this?
So we definitely go to conferences, but there is we strongly believe the only way to keep up with tools is by actually using them.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, let's talk about project management tools. So what we will do is that any project management tool, if it is a new one, comes by, and we completely switch our company for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of effort when you switch everything we are using.
Yeah.
But what we found is till you switch and don't use, you never know, right? I mean, so there are some terrible experience where we started and switched and said, no way. There are others we got better. And then there are some we went back. So that is how so almost all platforms, we internally have used them for at least 3 months before we'll ever recommend any. So we found that is the fastest and best way to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you a knowledge which is beyond somebody doing a general comparison, because we have inside now that these things will not work. I mean, if you go to, this is very frustrating when we look at the literature and search, there are a lot of comparison sites, but the level of comparison they do is so high level, it really doesn't help you decide.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you're trying to decide between tools, go to somebody who has used both the tools.
Right.
Only then you can really get a sense, not by just reading a blog article or the other aspect of it. Right. So a lot of tools, whenever it is possible, we'll actually use it in-house for a duration of it. And then we get experience with it. Of course, having a lot of client helps also, because many times we get a client and they already have a tool, and then we get to experience it on their platform, on their system, and learn it quickly also, right? So that also lets us keep up with what's happening.
Yeah, of course. If you work with clients that are ahead of that are using the latest technology, that can be interesting, because then you learn and you have the fresh, you ask the right questions, because they are already using the tools since a long time. And then if you dive in, it can really help. Perhaps a question about social media. Social media is there are a lot of channels. One of the latest channels, or the most popular channel today, is, I would say, TikTok. I know that you and your agency also are looking at TikTok. Can you tell us a bit about how you see TikTok evolve, and why do you think that TikTok is a good channel for businesses?
So we launched a site called TikTokPros.com, where we do ads for TikTok.
Okay.
As an agency, just for focusing on TikTok. The reason the TikTok is right now a good channel is, one, targeting is similar like other platforms, not
right.
Big difference. But right now, the cost of ads is still cheaper, right? Because it's still new relatively. So mm-hmm. It's a question of how long, because eventually everybody finds out, everybody's here, cost goes up, same thing. So that's one. As a platform itself, I personally find it's a very good platform, because the algorithms they use, they will deliver what you like. I mean, they do make you narrow,
mm-hmm.
but it is actually fun too, because I'm almost addicted to TikTok. I spend an hour or hour and a half every day, at least on TikTok.
Okay.
But it is like, I am very much into understanding philosophy and understanding psychology stuff. So it gives me that. Once I like that, it automatically figures out and it gives me that continuously, right? So I think that makes it a better targeted channel in that sense, because they are able to better figure out who likes what. So more narrower focus if you want. But then the other aspect though is that platform, the videos and the way they work on TikTok is different than the other platforms. So you got to stay native. Almost every platform, this is true.
Right.
You got to understand that what is the tone, what is the voice, what is the content type which works well here. And you got to stick with that. You cannot just take one kind of content type and start pushing on the other one. So TikTok is very exciting and it is happening. But I'm not a believer in that, oh, one channel or one thing and this will change the world. It never works like that. Mm-hmm. Because everybody will be here. The cost will go up. You have to deal with the standard marketing problems here also. And we run into already problems of like they don't allow certain ads if it is any kind of a medical claim. And so limitations and restrictions are already with our clients we have already faced. We had a client selling face masks and those face masks are actually beyond, they go to certain microns so they can claim some medical claims, but they would not allow those because they said, no, you cannot make any medical claims. So there are those standard problems which you see on other platforms start showing up on TikTok also. So in some ways, it's new, but in other ways, it's exactly the same. Same issues trying to get things across, right?
Right.
But it is definitely a growing platform. If somebody's not there, they should be there. Definitely utilize it till it gets crowded. Then eventually the costs everywhere level out, right? Ends up the same cost. Like if there's an advertising channel, when it's new, you have some advantage, but only for short duration.
Yeah, like on every platform, when they start to do ads. So it's an opportunity on TikTok for everyone that's not there yet, because the big mass, people, there's a lot of younger people are on it, but you should be amazed about how different ages that we find, people that we find on TikTok. And when you talked about, this ads problem, I had the same issue in the beginning of COVID I had it with Twitter, I had it with LinkedIn. I had a client that wanted to sell like these air purifiers and that was not allowed by different social media. Another one was, I think I mentioned it was for, in Belgium, an organization that wanted to do an event around 5G. And they asked me to help them make publicity for the event, to get more people registering. But the ad was not approved by Twitter because it was about 5G. And, with all these stories about 5G, these conspiracy theories, it was not accepted. Okay, I did an appeal and finally they accepted. But I know that's something that comes back every time. And what about TikTok? What I like is what you mentioned. The most social media systems or sites are based, who are your friends? Who are the people following you and how are they engaging with your content and what content is working? It's based on your friends and not based on, interest. And with TikTok, it's completely different. It's possible that you do a video and it will be shown to the people that TikTok thinks that are interested in this video. So I see a lot of possibilities there too. Next to TikTok, is there another social media channel that you are looking at the moment that you think this is a good place to be? For instance, Instagram Reels? I don't know.
Instagram Reels, because of TikTok, has become relevant, I guess, because that's... So what TikTok has done is it has created this new category of short videos. So like even on YouTube, everywhere, the short, because in general, everybody's span was going shorter anyway on social media. So they have now, it's become imperative that like used to be there, everybody said video, video, video. Then it was, hey, this size video. Then what now the new thing is you got to do the long video, but you got to have short snippets also to get the right people who will like the short snippet and then they will come and watch your long video.
Right.
Yeah. So that has been the general strategy that you have to have the short version of those videos. We are, in fact, for even ourselves, we are working with a company now. Their companies have popped up. They just do that. They will do this long video for you and they'll do a many variations of the smaller videos all from one. Mm-hmm. And they sell those as packages. And I think that's kind of interesting. We internally don't do that. If a client needs it, we work with outside companies to do that. But I think that's a right strategy, that do a long content, then slice and dice and make smaller out of that, and then start promoting. So TikTok and Reels and even on YouTube, short videos that's what TikTok has made happen, basically.
Right.
Right. Get.
What you just said about this company that make this short video content, I also noticed someone that started a new business also based on that concept, make short form video. So that's really something that you'll be seeing more of in the future. Also, if you see the Instagram evolution and so on.
Yep.
But also, we talk now about views, reach, engagement and so on. But in the end, also, you want to have somewhere a conversion. on your site, you need, of course, you want to measure it and you want to improve it, these conversion rates, because if you just have viewers, it doesn't bring you anything. Do you have any tips about that? How business can...
Yes, so the conversion rate optimization, usually people think about that more in terms of e-commerce. Mm-hmm. Probably the reason is it's easier to measure there, right? So you can immediately see that, hey, you increase the conversion by 2%, this is so much money, right? But I think that conversion, optimizing the conversion on a website is very, very important even for B2B. Because you're mm-hmm. really losing out traffic. When we acquired this company, Invisible PPC, this is like a perfect example I want to show you that talk about. Because we found that Invisible PPC, all they do is Google, just do Google Ads, nothing else, just Google Ads for other agencies. But we have a landing page. There's always a landing page. We found we can triple, very quickly, we can triple conversion by changing the structure of the landing page. And triple is big. I'm just talking about like, hey, the conversion was 10%. Now we have 30% conversion. Truly that level, just by changing things around on the landing page, same ad, same everything, same ad copy, no other change. And these changes we were making, initially I was thinking as though we are being very clever because we do A-B, everybody wants to do A-B testing, we do A-B testing. But we found is it's just not A-B testing. There are certain good practices which these companies who were coming to us, they're just not following it. The people have tendency, I mean, just basic things of copywriting. They're talking about using their own company name in every paragraph. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this is a ad campaign where they paid money. You want them to fill the form. This is not where you want them to remember your name. This is not a branding campaign. So you make it simple, right? I remember there's a company they called, their name is Referrer. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's call it roofing because I'm going to change it because I don't want to give it away. So okay, there's a company called Referrer Roofing. Now, Referrer, the word has a meaning. Now, that's your brand. Now, if you start putting the name Referrer Roofing, they're going to think this is a different kind of a roofing. People will get confused because they think you have, you do roofing, but you do a special kind of roofing. So you're actually better off taking the name off and just talk about what you do with roofing. So just these kind of things we found. So that's the first level we do, right? So that's the conversion. First thing is what we know. We have a checklist of, I think, 41-point checklist. We say, okay, just go and these are common mistakes people do when they're trying to do conversion. They are, usually we can fix with that. And of course, after that, I mean, nobody's perfect in the sense nobody knows exactly for every business. You got to do A-B testing at that point, right? And so that's what we get into at that point and do a lot of A-B testing of messaging, etc. And then we also use, now we've started using AI, like Jasper AI, to generate 10 headlines and test the 10 headlines.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So that gives you, you start with one or two which you think you like and then just let it generate more for you, right? So it's kind of a creativity multiplied and run it and quickly it'll tell you which one is better. It's kind of fun. Many times the AI wins than any headline we can come up with, right? So we certainly try that with. So the conversion is all about kind of first follow the good points. Some are known. Any practitioner who's been doing this for a while will tell you certain things straight away while looking at it, right?
Yeah.
And those need to be fixed. But after that, anywhere where you have a doubt, it's A-B testing again and again and again and one at a time. I mean, I have an example for you that we had a client and they said they wanted to give to charity and they said that is a big deal. They need to put it on top. We tested it. People didn't care about the charity part. They cared about the technology behind the product much more. So we changed the lines. Mm-hmm. Charity didn't matter at all. It was like, so it seems like, everybody will want the fact that they give 10% to charity. So they wanted that to be in the headline. We sought that with the technology and conversion jumped up, right? So there are a lot of things which seems intuitive, like, doing the good thing is always good. We should promote it. But the user in this case is looking for, because the product, the way it was, they wanted the technology part to be highlighted, not the charity. It's great. It still adds value, but maybe down the line, not on top. Right.
Yeah. So those are things you would not always think it'd be like that. And if you don't test it, then of course you'll leave money on the table and the conversion rates. I think changes like that can have a huge impact on the conversion rate.
And even things like we all like to put the ratings, star ratings. Now, you can put active star rating by an active component, which is like live.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. But the problem is all those live components, they add load time. It takes longer to load. So what we found is take the screenshot of that and make it a link, live link. And then that thing loads fast. If somebody wants to see the rating, they can click on it. And now they can go to the full rating page. And we can suddenly increase the conversion just by doing that. Because the fact was the load was taking so long. So having this, when we say, hey, everything is live, I've got it embedded. It's great. It's embedded. But end of the day, if page has to load, if it's going to take too long, they leave. So having too many things on there active can be a problem also.
Right. I guess that's also one of the things on your checklist to check out the load speed.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Avi, thank you very much for all these tips that you gave. I think it will be useful for people. They understand the fractional CMO service, but also all these different things that they can, about the tech, about, how you can work on your conversion rate and so on. So thank you very much. If people have more questions, they want to find out more about you, how can they find you? Can they go to your website? Can they find you on social media?
They can find me on LinkedIn. It's /AviKumar. Avi Kumar is just the last word. Or they can email me at avi@kuware.com. And especially if the FCMO part, if they're interested in doing more as FCMO or working with us, because we are always looking for more FCMOs to add to our team. So as we grow. So if somebody's interested in exploring that as an option, we will be definitely interested in talking.
Okay, I will put all your contact info, of course, in the show notes later on when it will be published. It was really interesting to have you. Thank you so much, Avi.
Thank you, Yuri. I mean, you are a great host. It was easy to talk. So thank you. Appreciate that.
I will be for sure in touch. I will find you on LinkedIn and perhaps we'll meet at one of the upcoming marketing events. Who knows?
Yes, certainly. All right.
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. I'm happy already been at the 32nd episode with my CMO stories. Thank you very much, and I hope to see you back for episode 33. Bye.